That's right.
Brendan, do you know
thanks for pointing that out, though.
You're welcome. No,
do you know
welcome.
Who will probably play 20-plus minutes against the Kings tonight?
Yes, I do, Franklin.
Can you tell the people?
Oh.
Jahmyus Ramsey.
Oh, my
Why do you think I went number three? Did he wear number three in Sacramento?
He did.
I'm pretty sure he wore number three in Sacramento.
Here at Sacktown Sports 1140 Studios, we're reminded by that constantly because Brendan has a cardboard cutout of Jahmyus Ramsey that is in the hallway, so... It used to be in your room, I think. So.
Well, relax. Hold on. I didn't know where else to put it. Okay. Yes, yes. Gosh.
Well, speaking of, does anybody know what happened to where is the Malik Monk cutout? Anybody know? Anybody?
I have hints. Or I have ideas.
Where is it?
I have ideas of where it is.
Could not tell you.
You think it's someone from the morning show that took it?
Nope.
Okay. I'll leave it there.
All right, guys, we'll have some fun with this one. With the Kings playing the Raptors, what Kings player would best to swap jerseys with Grady Dick?
Okay, let's go through the options here.
Yeah, right.
Fox is a solid one.
Fox is okay.
Fox is a solid one.
Not a lot of great options.
Yeah.
Barnes. Yeah. Mitchell's not Monk. Monk might be the one. Might be the one.
Yeah.
Murray?
No.
If Murray's second?
Maybe. No.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let me pull up a roster just to make sure we're not missing anybody.
Ford, Jones, Ellis. No.
Nothing.
None of these do it.
Really.
I think it's got to be Monk or Fox.
Yeah.
Guys, it's pretty obvious to be honest. He's not playing. Herter.
That's probably it.
That is strong.
It's harder.
It is a good one.
That's the winner.
One's first?
Grady. Grady goes first.
Yes. Yes. That is exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because I was thinking the opposite order the whole time. So, yeah, you got it there.
That would have been it.
It can either be a sentence or it can be a nickname.
Making a whole sentence is crazy.
Yeah.
That would have been it.
Just get like four players.
Good question.
There's your answer, 916. Great question.
Monk. Herter, Grady.
From the 530, who would you compare Keon Ellis to of past players? Doug Christie, Do you see him developing more offense?
That's an interesting question. Has this guy's done?
Brendan, this guy is in sixth grade.
Get this man an oxygen tank.
King's Triangle.
Wait, does it have to be a former king?
That's what the question is, I hear where you're going.
Like the way we talked about it. I'll say it again. Like Lou Dort is a he's different build, but I think a Lou Dort type, a guy who can knock down threes, defend multiple positions, be athletic. I'm looking at it that way. Both undrafted. Mm-hmm. Like I think Doug is someone that would be like a very ideal scenario. Like if Keon Ellis turns into Doug Christie, that's just like a huge win as an undrafted free agent, but. I'm not sure of anyone that comes to mind as far as former Kings, like a defender that's just great on and off ball.
Just a defender on the Kings would be nice to even think about.
Who was the best defender on the Kings over the past 10 years?
10?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. My answer was going to be Ron Artest, but that's obviously not 10 years.
I don't think they've
had a defender.
I don't know if they had a defender either.
Like someone who would classify themselves as a defender.
Was it James Anderson? Do you remember James Anderson?
Maybe like that Douglas.
Tony Douglas.
He was there for like a week.
Tony Douglas.
Yeah.
Tony Douglas might
Luke and Bob Mute was there for like 2 weeks. I don't know if that was 10 years ago.
Luke Bob Mute was a guy who I think we were all hyping him up. Yeah. I was probably in college like, they got this lockdown defender. And I think he was playing. He got traded for Derek Williams like a week into the season.
Right.
So
It was short-lived, but I kind of think Dante DiVincenzo isn't that bad.
Ooh, Dante, I think that's why they went to and got him. Like he was a 3-and-D type player.
Other undrafted guys, for what it's worth, like Jose Alvarado is part of that. Alex Caruso is probably a high goal, but he's part of that. Torrey Craig, Royce O'Neal are undrafted guys. There definitely are a lot of undrafted. You mentioned Lou Dort. There's a lot of these undrafted guys that end up working out in a way that Keon seems to be projecting towards. But it's insane to me that if you would have told any of us at the beginning of the year, we're going to go into the postseason and Keon Ellis is probably going to be starting for the Kings, guy that was on a two-way at the beginning of this year.
Yeah. We would think that there's problems.
Yeah, and there might be with that. Keon's been playing good. How do we know how he's going to do in the playoffs?
We have no clue. We have absolutely no clue. I made the joke to Chris yesterday that right now, Keon, as a starter, has been the aunt or uncle to
a human or a dog, right? Or you get to dog sit. You get to hang out for a little bit, and then you get to go home. You don't have to take them to the vet. You don't have to do other things. Or, oh, my niece is coming over this weekend. Get to hang out, do all the fun stuff. When the niece is getting a little bit too annoying, you hand the niece back, right? Now, this is Keon Ellis. This is his job, right? He is parenting now. This is your baby now. And I wonder, I think it's good that he's starting off against teams like the Raptors and then the Wizards. He's not getting thrown into the fire. But I do think there will be a different feeling on the Kings these next couple games. Maybe not the next couple games, but I would circle that Saturday game against the Magic.
Well, the Magic, then you have next week Tyrese Maxey's coming into town. Mm-hmm. Then obviously, right. I mean, the biggest, I'm circling on my calendar, I think every Kings fan is as well, the biggest two-game set of the season to this point is going to be those Mavericks games.
Yep.
Because you're going to get Luka and Kyrie. Does that mean we're going to see Keon Ellis defend Kyrie Irving? Possibly. I mean, I think Keegan Murray and having Keon. If Keon's going to be a consistent defender, I think it does take some work off De'Aaron Fox's shoulder. Because you have Keegan, and then who guarded Luka, I think, a good amount of the time against Dallas, yeah. if I'm not mistaken. Then you have Keon, who I guess him and De'Aaron could take turns defending Kyrie. But I think that's a very different look the Kings have had, having two just kind of 3-and-D kind of type players in the lineup. But like you said, he's going to be tested. This is kind of like that calm before the storm. And, you know, Toronto has guys like they have Gary Trent Jr. and obviously Grady Dick's been playing well for them. And then tomorrow, Washington, can Jordan Poole get on a heater? I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know, but we'll see. But it's a good test for him because, again, if he can be consistent and be a guy that doesn't look too green around the gills and he can be a guy that can look like have that veteran presence, that's what the Kings have lacked. And can he be that? We're going to find out.
How do you guys feel about yesterday? We kind of, to go back to the comparison thing, I mean, is Tony Allen too good of a defender as a comp for Keon?
Probably.
Right now.
Like as a ceiling, for now. Like, if the three-point shot to the Texter's point doesn't develop, you know, you say Royce O'Neal, that's probably like a low end.
I guess as a ceiling, it's fine.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. Avery Bradley popped into my mind.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Celtics legend.
Yeah, I know. Definitely Celtics direction here. Yeah.
Are we somewhere between like Thabo Sefolosha and you know, Tony Allen as the hope? I mean, I'm just trying to think of like two guards who were very good defenders and offensively, you're just kind of hoping for anything.
Maybe Thibault.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like you could throw, but based on what he meant to this team, you'd hope that he is better, but GP2, but I would say you'd hope.
GP2 is pretty important. Yeah, that's a good one.
He's important.
Yeah.
He never.
The role he served on that
yes,
team.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. He didn't start too often, and he didn't really play as a guard offensively. But I would.
But they
would
talk about how important he is.
I would
sure,
hope that Keon ends up better than him.
Well, OKC Thunder model, like you said, Sefolosha, was it Andre Roberson was a guy Roberson, who played defense. And you know,
Keon's a better shooter than Andre Roberson now.
I think a lot of us at this table might be better shooters. Yes. You know, no disrespect, but we're going to find out. That's kind of the exciting part is we're going to see like what is his ceiling. Like, I don't know if we're going to have a clear answer by April 15th, but this is like his shot. Like, he's come through every time he's had an opportunity this year so far. He's earned the spot. He earned his full contract spot. Mm-hmm. Now he's earned a starting spot. Now the opportunity's presented itself. That's the exciting part. We're going to see what his ceiling can be.
What do we think the floor is still, though?
The floor?
Yeah.
Is it Roberson?
Is it like
in terms
prime
of player
like
or
Justin
in terms of
Holiday
production?
Or something?
I mean, the defense is already there.
It is.
That's the thing is like at the base level, even if he just can't figure it out offensively, his defense is plug and play.
Yeah.
Like you can throw that in there for 15 minutes. And I mean, what, he had five blocks the other day? I'm counting those as stocks because
right.
There was so many where he's swatting it down and it's like it can either be a block or a steal. To have six is insane in a game. Like, that's like high level stuff. So, at the very least, I mean, he's walking in as a top 15, 20 defender in the NBA, I think, already.
Yeah. Might be a little high for me, but maybe.
I mean,
I'm curious to see.
Just on the defensive end.
Sorry, yeah. I'm curious to see how he looks when he's, like, really in a scouting report.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
Is he going to get in a lot of foul trouble more so as he's getting more minutes and teams are more aware of that? When he gets, I know you're talking about the defense, but on offense, when teams do start respecting his three, is he still going to be knocking it down when he's getting closed out? Or if they don't do that, can he start getting in his head at any point? So I think that there's a potential interesting development as he starts to become more part of scouting reports.
And that's where the playoffs become
right.
very scary, because those scouting reports are, I mean, you play a team three times in a row, they're going to know every single movement that you're going to make. What are Keon's counters? Right. I mean, these are just the things that we're going to Frank's point, it's exciting, but at the same time, we're figuring it out in real time.
It could not be exciting pretty quick.
Yes. Yeah, right. But honestly, I think, and I'm going to sound like I've been to one too many Mike Brown press conferences here, but because of that flow offense, they're all going to get opportunities. So as much as it's about Keon Ellis hitting his open shots, I'm looking at Harrison Barnes and I'm looking at Keegan Murray to, if they're hitting shots, you can't guard everybody. Right. And I understand if those guys are hitting shots, then you won't. I'm not worried about, and we'll have to see, but I would be more worried about Keon having to deal with other teams respecting their shot than getting left on an island, because yeah. it feels like that's what he's more used to. Nobody respects his shot right now. Right. And obviously he's been hitting them. So it's literally what he's practicing. There's nobody within 4 to 5 feet of him. If the other guys aren't hitting and he is, and now they start coming at him, now it's about Harrison Barnes, Keegan Murray. Can you knock down your shots? Because if a guy like Keegan Murray can get as many open shots as he gets, I'm not worried about Keon Ellis necessarily dealing with, you know, guys leaving. He's going to have opportunities. I'm more worried about if Keegan and Harrison aren't hitting and right. those guys, as crazy as it sounds, start selling out more on Keon Ellis than the other dudes.
Well, and that's when you're really going to notice that, yeah, I mean, if HB and Keegan, to your point, both have under 10 points, and then you look and see Keon also has under 10 points, that's when it. Everyone's going to point to, well, this is where we miss Kevin Huerter, because mm-hmm. on nights where HB and Keegan don't have it, you're not going to get a 20-point random performance out of Keon, where that was the variable that you were hoping for with Kevin Huerter. Is
like one of the three you're going to do it. One of the three. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Well, hopefully.
Last season, every night, but this season, it's.
Hey, just saying.
Hopefully.
Secret weapon, Sasha?
That could happen, man.
And that is exactly where we are going next when we return. Who can step up that is currently on the bench for the Kings with Kevin Huerter out? Not just with Kevin Huerter out, just with the playoffs on the horizon, and we look forward to the next couple of games. Do the guys think that the Kings can sweep the road trip? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. One more segment with our guys. Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunes. Congrats to the winner who gets to see Hannibal Buress tickets. Another chance tomorrow. But you got to be listening here at 12 p.m. And the word on the street is that Sabonis has short arms. Is that what you're telling me?
I was wondering during the break, asking if anyone ever saw that. But someone, again, NBA Twitter or social media has been, the discourse on Sabonis has been ridiculous. And someone said the T-Rex arms thing, which makes complete, it makes no sense. He leads the NBA in rebounds per game. But I think Greg Wissinger said this morning on Twitter that he just remembered or thought about if Anthony Davis was doing this double-double streak.
I saw that.
It would be headline SportsCenter. Mm-hmm. It'd be like breaking away on NBA TV or SportsCenter to follow it. And that did make me mad, because he's like, now if I have to know this, you have to know it too. And I think that we will look back on this someday, and the NBA world hopefully will be disappointed. Because
It was Wozni Lambry of The Ringer. He
Who
said they were doing a worst NBA contracts draft and said, quote,
with Bill Simmons.
Yes, with Bill Simmons.
That's right.
And he said, quote, just because I have to, Sabonis. And this is them talking about the worst NBA contracts draft. Just because I have to, Sabonis. You all are not going to get me to buy this thing. I'm never going to buy this thing. The T-Rex arms at center. I'm never going to buy it. I get it. He's a focal point of what they're doing on offense. He doesn't always embarrass himself on defense. He plays hard, and he's a positive guy, but has 4 years, $186 million left on his contract, over $200 million when you're counting this year. Come on now. Look this part up. For a 6'8 center who doesn't shoot threes, I'm not buying this Sabonis.
He might want to sit down for this. He's 6'10", and the volume isn't insane, but he's shooting 41% from three and over an attempt per game. Hmm. So,
yeah, how many threes do you want your center shooting?
Some credibility.
Unless you're Karl-Anthony Towns or Jokic, I mean, I don't think that many. I mean, that's not where he fits in the Kings offense. I think he could shoot more. I think that if he shot a one or two more per game, it wouldn't make me too upset. But just to go on it,
but that's not even a thing with centers. There's not a bunch of centers running around shooting threes right now. I mean, even Anthony Davis, who is a hybrid center, he's not even putting them up like that. So these guys just make stuff
I just
up,
also want to say, too, his very own website, The Ringer, has Domantas Sabonis at 22 on their top 100 players in the NBA. Sabonis is the 23rd highest paid player in the NBA. How is one on a bad contract? How is somebody overpaid if your own website, which I assume Waz had some input into this ranking, has him at 22 and his contract says he's the 23rd best player?
And at this point, it's
make
just,
it make
just,
sense.
There's just too much content. I don't even know who this guy is. And I don't know how much he watches the Kings.
It's all rage click and rage listens now.
Yeah, this is Elon's Twitter.
He's averaging 20-13-8. He leads the NBA in double doubles and triple doubles. He's 27 years old.
Yeah. The short arms thing is just because he's not a rim protector, right?
Yeah,
that's where this is coming from.
The last time I heard the short arms thing, honestly, was Julius Randle.
Does he have short arms?
That's what I heard. This is back in the day when they were scouting him and things like that. I remember that being a nine.
For what it's worth, Domantas Sabonis' wingspan is measured at 6'11".
Plus one?
Which is plus one.
Not enough.
I mean, it's not like, I wouldn't describe it as lengthy, but like,
no.
It's not T-Rex arms. Short. You know, yeah, T-Rex would imply that it's shorter than
I would say get this guy on the show, but he doesn't deserve to
Before
be
Before we move on, do we think that this is going to, like, ever move on, or is it just the recency bias of that the Haliburton and Sabonis trade is still, like, it's relatively fresh? I think if we move in the next year, do you think it'll be just the discourse? Sabonis and Haliburton. Oh, you don't want to say his name on the show?
No, I don't.
He's not relevant. Oh, okay. 16-9, dude.
I've been hanging out with Chris too much. Yeah, I mean,
are we doing segments about Pod these days? Like Pods, Pajemski? Like,
I will.
What are we doing? We're just talking about all NBA players.
He balls out in this playoffs and it'll go away.
Yes.
It's that simple.
Yes.
Just ball out in the playoffs, it'll go away.
Yeah, I really do think it's that simple. Because I do think that this is just a sample size thing where people have watched 7 games of Domantas Sabonis, and that's what they're drawing all of their conclusions from, is just last year's playoffs. And that was a bad 7 games.
Yeah.
Like, it just was.
Everybody is hoping for, and I know we're looking forward a little bit here, but you get the Thunder. Even if the Kings don't beat the Thunder in the series, that would be great for Sabonis' brand. Because he will take care of Chet, right? Gobert might be a little bit different. And then who else? Jokic would be. Even though Jokic and
They battle,
but everybody's just gonna say you lost, right? So you get Chet, you put him in the blender, and then the haters and Wazoo, what was his name? Wazoo. Whatever it was, then they'll say, well, he went up against Chet, so it doesn't count.
Right. Gotta do it when it matters.
New villain of the day.
Gotta do it when it matters. Yeah. Gotta do it when it matters.
Kevin O'Connor, that used to be Kevin O'Connor, but he's our guy now.
I know.
That's right.
Why is he your guy now?
Because he responded to me on Twitter.
What'd he say?
This was a while ago.
Okay, Keep up, Frank.
But you guys are best friends.
Yeah.
You don't know about the monk thing, Brendan.
Yeah, you didn't know about
the monk chant.
All right, guys.
You know what that sound means.
And whenever you hear that sound, there's nothing that comes after that. All right, guys. 3 games on this mini road trip. Raptors, Wizards, and Magic. I think all of us want to say 3-0. Are you saying 3-0 or 2-1 is what it comes down to?
I think anything less than 2-1 would be a failure, because that means you lose a game to either Toronto, who has, I mean, their lineup is Gary Trent. There's a couple NBA guys, but they have four of the 5 starters are gone. They're missing. Mm-hmm. No excuses. And then tomorrow you're playing Washington. What did Kyle Kuzma say? At this point, don't be that team.
Yeah.
At this point, don't be that team.
Yeah.
Take care of these 2 games. Then Orlando is a very tough matchup for them. They've been playing well. They've been playing great. I know Brendan's got a lot of guys he likes on that team. And 2-1 for me. Got to be 2-1.
Yeah, I think 2-1. I feel best saying that, like, 2-0 in these first 2. And kind of a coin flip
Anything
for that
goes.
Last
yeah.
game in yeah. Orlando. I think Orlando's a good team. Like Frank said, they do have
They're
a lot of guys
well.
That I am interested in. I think their length is intriguing. Paolo had a really big game when they came into town earlier
double
this year. It was a double
overtime.
40 in Golden 1. Yeah.
De'Aaron.
Franz got hurt that game,
yeah,
too.
Franz
that's right.
got hurt in, I think, the first
really
quarter.
Early,
yeah. early in the second really quarter. De'Aaron was a bit cold that game, and Malik saved the day again.
That's yep. right.
So I would say, that the Magic also have a gear to grind with the Kings and feel like they owe them one. And at this point in time, I was looking at the Eastern Conference standings. The Magic would really like this game. They are only a half game back of the Knicks. They probably can't catch the Cavs in that three seed. They're 2.5 games back. But they if they're stuck playing the Knicks, they would rather have those games in Orlando than in the Garden. So they definitely got something to play for. And the Kings, they cannot sleepwalk. But before that, take care of business first. Take care of business first.
Washington's only a cool like 44.5 behind Boston.
They're coming up.
Hey, I mean, literally 43 and a half. Yeah, 43. But they have 11 wins.
I saw that number. What,
11 wins.
I was like, what, dude?
What I'm looking for, though, in today's game and tomorrow's game, there's got to be one Kings game against a team that's more than 10 games under 500 where it's just like a, wow, this team just really handled them. What an easy win. The starters sit in the fourth. They are so due for one of those games. Like, they refused to put these teams away. I mean, the Memphis game was excruciating. And, yeah, I know Desmond Bane is a all-star talent. Like, he's a guy that's a star-caliber type player, and he had some big plays late in that game. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking to see the Kings prove themselves in either today's or tomorrow's game. Ideally, both. Just a coast to a finish. And hopefully, maybe tonight or tomorrow, you can rest a couple guys. You never know. I mean, Sasha Vezenkov's going to come back. I'm wondering if they hold him out of one of these two games because of the back-to-back. But see what he has in the tank. Like, let guys like Alex Len play big minutes. Like, let's put yourself in a position where these guys can play. Kessler Edwards, I want to see some of those guys play. Well, Fox,
Mason
Barnes,
Jones.
Mason Jones. I think he's out because he's on the G League assignment. But the first seed, Stockton Kings, by the way, which I was unaware they were first seed.
Wait, Mason Jones isn't making this road trip?
He's out on the injury report.
Mm. It's bad for vibes.
Bad for vibes.
Did you guys see when the bench mob did the huddle and said bench mob on three and JaVale broke?
Is that what they said?
Kings about to win every game on the road. Without Mason
this guy's
Jones.
Crazy. This guy's crazy.
They said,
for what it's worth, Sasha Vezenkov is out tonight against the Raptors.
Official.
According to Sean Cunningham.
You heard it here first.
From Sean.
From Sean Cunningham.
Sasha Vezenkov is out tonight against the Raptors.
To me, I feel like that's a back-to-back thing. I mean, we'll see. They put the questionable label on it. I think that the back-to-back on an ankle injury, they probably would never do that the way the Kings operate. But he's close. Maybe he plays 40 minutes tomorrow night. That's not happening. That's not happening.
No. Well, hopefully they take care of business as the Sactown Sports Kings Insiders always take care of business. Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunes. You can find all of their great, great work. They're putting up new content, it feels like, every hour. SactownSports.com. You can check them out. Also, follow them on social media. When Chris and I return, continuing the Keon conversation, the new expectations. Are you worried? Should you be? Your calls, your texts, your Sack Chat. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sactown Sports and subscribe.
Thank you to Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli. Sactown Sports. Kings Insiders. Go check them out on social media. And, of course, at SactownSports.com. Chris, did we ever get an answer? So this was DeAndre Ayton a couple days ago. This came out March 18th. And DeAndre Ayton says that sleeping on an air mattress earlier this season could have contributed to his early season struggles. And this is the quote, "My body wasn't just my body. People forget the humane difference of me adjusting to everything. That included something as routine as getting proper sleep, just being comfortable and waking up. I didn't have a bed for quite some time. I was on an air mattress just trying to figure this out." Now, I'm trying to figure out if anything got confirmed, right? Because you don't want to joke or anything like that. But it does seem a little bit bizarre that someone who is a millionaire had an air mattress. I don't really know how that happens.
Do they make them that big?
I don't know. There's no way.
They will mess you up, though, for sure.
I mean, I've cranked my neck. I don't doubt that. What I'm confused about is why he was sleeping on an air mattress.
Yeah, who allowed that to happen? Like, even let's even say worst case scenario, whatever. We'll say DeAndre Ayton, for whatever reason, was completely robbed on the plane from Phoenix to Portland, and he had $0 in his bank account.
Yeah.
How does the team not say, hey, this is a $1 million asset that we have. Let's make sure we don't ruin him and get him as something as simple as a bed.
Yeah, that's
just hard to believe. And I don't want to say he's lying or anything, but if anybody allowed that to happen, that's honestly, I mean, I would say that goes to the organization. You should not allow your $1 million athlete to even remotely think about sleeping on an air mattress.
He made $30 million last year.
Yeah, he's not
with the Suns. He's
on a ridiculous contract.
Yeah, he signed a 4-year $132 million contract. That was with the Suns, and then obviously he got traded. So yeah, because he signed that contract last season. Is he one of those guys? We all have those friends that say, hey man, you sure you good? I can take care of you. No, I'm good, man. I'm actually comfortable, man. I like sleeping on air mattresses. And again, if there is an actual reason,
yeah,
then I'm not trying to joke. I just have no clue what that reason could possibly be.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is I literally cannot even imagine a situation where he doesn't have the money. He doesn't have somebody, some connect in the area that could provide. Like, we're just talking about something as simple as a bed. It's one thing, you know, if we're talking about a car or whatever, a mode of transportation. We're talking about a bed for a guy who is 7 feet tall and definitely needs a certain, you know, he probably needs to handcraft the bed in order for it to be comfortable for him. There's just no way that anyone would allow him to do that. And if they did, again, that is a failure from the organization. If they found out and they knew, I don't understand how you can allow a 7-footer to do anything that's going to affect his body like that.
Yeah, and the first comment, you know, the internet can be ruthless, is DeAndre Ayton with, I got to show you the picture, Chris.
Oh, gosh.
Just so you can help us explain it to people.
Brother.
I mean, it's not just...
He got like 12 chains on.
It's not just 3 chains. It's 3
thick
chains thick. With like 4 multiple C's.
Multiple C's.
4 C's.
Yeah, that thing's like breaking his neck right now.
So it's a bit confusing as to why he was sleeping on an air mattress, but hopefully everything is good with DeAndre Ayton.
Maybe it was just a bad mattress.
And maybe it was just a bad mattress and he didn't want to...
Like, I imagine also like him on the floor, mm-hmm. You know? Like, I'm imagining like a college dorm-esque setup for DeAndre Ayton here. Like, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense. But what does make sense is to continue playing Keon Ellis, who has been bowling just like back in the day. And we want to know whether this is, I guess, real gold or fool's gold. I don't think it could be fool's gold in that it's not good at all. But maybe it's what, cubic zirconia? Right? Yeah, versus a diamond, like back in the day when you had the earrings popping. And we know the defense is diamond.
Yeah.
Right? The question is the offense and how much can he be a factor moving forward with the Kings offensively, and how much do the Kings need him to be a factor offensively?
Yeah, I mean, that's the million-dollar question for sure. I mean, you know, we've seen him hit threes at a pretty good rate here. He's hit threes in Stockton. You know, it's just like we just talked about with the roundtable. I think the open looks will be the open looks. He'll probably hit those down at a similar rate. The question is going to become when defenses start to give him the proper attention. And how does he, you know, is he just a spot-up shooter? Does he have a little bit of play creation to his game? Does he have a bit of playmaking to his game? We'll just have to see. I mean, like you said, it's still an open book, really.
I feel like I have not seen Keon break down a defender and get to the cup to either pass or finish. I don't know if I've seen him do that.
There's one. Once. He shot over Anthony Davis, and that was off of a pump fake where he drove in and then kind of pulled up. That's really the only one, and I only remember that one specifically because I was like, wow, he just pulled up and shot that over AD. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, in general, like, nah, he's not getting typically, I mean, yeah, I don't think of that as part of his game. But that's also, how many times has Mike Brown talked about spray threes? Like, he's going to need to be able to do that if he's not going to be taking those shots. He's got to be able to put some rim pressure, And, I mean, yeah, it'll also be interesting to see how well, in general, he finishes around the rim. We haven't seen him really have to get crafty around the rim much, and the only couple times we have, he's got a weird turnover, he's had a travel. Mm-hmm. It just hasn't looked good, really. He hasn't looked confident attacking the rim. So if he's only a one-level scorer and that scoring is open threes, well, that's more towards, as we were just trying to find comps, that's a lot more Tabo Cephalosha,
yeah,
you know, Andre Roberson than some of the other high-end ceiling guys we were talking about.
Yeah, and it's really all hands on deck when it comes to Keon Ellis. We mentioned before the break, Sasha Vezenkov, Sean Cunningham, yeah, reporting that Sasha will not be playing tonight, but he went on to say that he was,
yeah,
if there's a feeling of confidence that Sasha will be back tomorrow night.
Yep. He says, the league source telling him that he will not play tonight, but says, continues to add, he didn't experience any setback, is still progressing to a return to action soon. And, you know, read into this what you may, Sean says, possibly as early as tomorrow night in Washington, which
he's going to play tomorrow.
You know, that kind of stuff doesn't just get thrown in there. You know, like, yeah, that's, I don't think Sean is, you know, saying that himself. I would say that that's probably sourced from somewhere credible. And, you know, if they're putting it out that it could be as soon as tomorrow, that makes it sound to me like they're going to give it a go. And the only thing that would keep him out is if he does pregame warmups and isn't feeling right. So it sounds like Sasha is coming back tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's how I'm moving forward.
And I think that the timing could not be any better.
Nope. Yep.
With Trey. First, we were talking about possibly getting time because of Trey Lyles.
That's right.
Now it's not just Trey Lyles. Yeah. Now it's also with what has happened to Kevin Huerter. And you're going to need offense. There's going to be an opportunity for Sasha to get back in there and hopefully do some things. And he's not going to get a lot of time, I'm sure. He's got to get back into playing shape. But this team is going to need offense wherever they can get it, because De'Aaron Fox, we've talked about his playmaking ability. I asked him a couple nights ago how he feels and has that been a point of emphasis. He mentioned that he's been getting doubled a lot, I think, on those drives to where normally he's able to get that mid-range jump shot up. The lane is shutting down for him, yeah, so he needs people to kick to.
Yes.
And he needs players that he feels confident that he's not going to have to force something up. He feels, okay, we got Sasha in there. Sasha can hit that thing. And we got a couple guys that can make some things happen. And as much as defense is important, you got that with Keon, you still got to put points on the board.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's a great point that you mentioned about De'Aaron there, as we've kind of been tracking his assists here recently. Last four games, he's averaging 8.3 assists, which is a lot more than he has here recently, just in recent memory. And I do think a lot of that is because, like you said, I mean, people are changing the way they defend him, and something tells me it's only going to get worse come playoff time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, guys are going to sell out for, we cannot let De'Aaron Fox beat us. Again, gladly, we'll gladly end a possession with Keon Ellis taking a shot, with Harrison Barnes taking a shot. As long as it's not Malik Sabonis or Fox, the other team's going to be thrilled. So I would expect even more tough defense on De'Aaron. And again, like we've talked about, it's going to be huge for their shooters to actually knock down shots.
You got to. As simple as it sounds, it's a make or miss league. Coming up at 1 p.m., we preview the Raptors and play a little game called NCAA Player or Raptor. Nate will lead that. That is at 1 p.m., and we will give you the laundry list. You'd ever done an essay? That's what this injury report sounds like. But at 12:45, right after this, we are getting to some fair or foul. It's not me today. Nate has already grinded his gears this week. I don't have anything.
That's right.
Chris Watkins.
People tell me it's a Wednesday.
It is a Wednesday. Chris Watkins has some things to say that has been bugging him. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
The 916 says, I just tuned in. What's the latest on Kevin Huerter? Left shoulder dislocation. And we do not know how long he's going to be out. Also, Sasha Vezenkov will not be playing tonight, but there is a good feeling, a confidence around the team that he will play tomorrow night. It's a quick reminder that you can catch all of the segments here on Sacktown Sports for Styles and Watkins. You can do that on SacktownSports.com with that app. You can do that on YouTube. You can do that multiple ways, so you can always catch whatever you miss. But yes, Kevin Huerter, left shoulder dislocation. Do not know how long he is out, but the feeling is that he's going to miss at least some time.
Yes. And also updating, I don't know how recently you tuned in, but yeah, Sasha Vezenkov also out tonight, but does seem like he's trending towards returning from his injury tomorrow. And I think he's missed like something near 20 games this year already. So it'll be really good to see Sasha back. And yeah, you actually reminded me of the fact that I didn't even consider he might need to recondition. Like, I don't know how much of this, especially recently, we've seen him doing warm-ups, but or, you know, doing shoot-around, but not, you know, obviously in-game. How much of this has been, okay, he's fine, you know, in terms of he could walk around and, you know, go to the gym or whatever, but he's just not in basketball shape. Or how much of this has just been he's totally back and, you know, he's just kind of been spending some time getting up to shape and all that stuff. So that's going to be the interesting thing to see from the Sasha front is just, you know, in terms of minutes, do they almost need to spoon feed him minutes here to get him into basketball shape, or is he ready to go tomorrow for 20 minutes? Because, you know, with Kevin out, there's so many K's on this team.
There are.
With Kevin out and with Trey out, you know, obviously there's going to be a ton of available minutes. It's just a matter of if Sasha's ready to just take that on right now.
At 1 p.m., we will have our Raptors preview. We will also play a game that you can play along in the car, on YouTube, however you may be listening to Styles and Watkins, NCAA player or Raptor. And I'll tell you what, you guys already blew one because that name that Frankie brought up, who I guess what played for the Kings at some point.
Oh, yeah, Jamias Ramsey.
I would have got that one wrong.
Oh, Jamias Ramsey's
That's crazy you bring that up because I set the game up. I was going to ask you specifically about Jamias Ramsey.
I would have got that one wrong.
I was going to. I was a little disappointed when it was brought up.
Damn. Yep, I was going to get that one wrong. But that is at 1 p.m. We will give you the laundry list of players on the Raptors injury report. But real quick, we're bringing back a fan favorite on the fastest growing show in Sacramento. Fair or foul? And it's always refreshing when I'm not the one that has complaints.
Yes.
Chris Watkins just came to me, and he had something to say.
Yeah.
He's got actually two things on this list. And then the last one is just both of us because it's just pretty interesting as we talk prop talk and how these athletes cannot always feel like humans. It is from a former King. We will get to that audio. But Chris, please, the floor is yours.
Which one would you want me to start with? The college thing or the stuff at the store?
Definitely the stuff at the store.
Stuff at the store. Okay. So the other day after the show, actually, I think it was on Monday, my girlfriend texted me. She was like, hey, I'm going to have some friends over. We're going to go out after. Would you mind picking me up some drinks at the store, you know, before they get here? That'd be great. I was like, no problem. Absolutely. Stop at the store. And Alan, I don't know if the Bay Area. Now, Sacramento does have a really good brewery scene. They have a great ciders. There's some wineries out in Clarksburg, which I would highly recommend, even Lodi. But, dude, this IPA thing is out of control. The amount of IPAs that are available, and then like I'm looking for some, you know, because she's having 4 to 5 people over. I'm thinking, she said, you know, she likes some hazies,
right?
But she's also like, either get the hazies or get the Modelos, or, you know, just something light. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, those are two completely different tastes,
right?
Let me look for a variety pack. No variety. But there's usually a Sierra Nevada variety pack that I will shout out.
You should find a variety really good pack.
Every variety pack I found, IPA, Stone IPA, Double IPA, and then here's like a, you know, whatever, I don't know, a blonde ale or something.
Pilsner.
It's just gotten out of control, man. Yeah. I'm just like, you know, I understand that this is a market for sure. There are people who enjoy craft brews. It's definitely on the rise just in terms of a hobby, but how many people really like IPAs? Because I cannot, it makes me sad. Like, I will drink one if it's the only one there, but I still have to drink things for the sheer enjoyment of, wow, that tastes good. And I don't understand how all of these people, I'm not saying, I understand how that could be a certain person's taste, but I don't understand how it's being mass produced. There's just as many IPAs as there are Pilsners.
It's a lot.
And there's no way that many people love beer the same way that people will just drink beer.
Yeah, my question is, when it comes to all these IPAs, are they being produced by larger companies, or is this just
all of it?
Or is this just another version of the podcasting? Every guy,
everybody's got.
I mean, you all have totally a friend.
That's so true.
Hey, I can brew something.
I brew,
I brew
my
for
garage,
you, bro.
Dude.
Yeah.
I think a way to distinguish the first of all, I'm on your side, Chris.
Thank you.
Disgusting. Look at the can, and if they just have like a label wrapped around it, that's how I feel like, okay, that's not a big brand. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like when they just put a sticker on it.
It never gets cold. Can, it never feels cold.
Because it's so thick. Yes. Yeah, it's not that Coors Light rocky glow.
Right,
when
it's not
cold.
Built into the can. Yeah, it's there is a lot. There is a lot, and they just get, what is it? I guess hoppier and hoppier.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Hop
it's
on
just
pop.
Bitter,
hop
dude.
Along.
Like,
yeah.
I hate the bitterness. That's the part I cannot get over. And like, it just, it tastes sad. Like, it makes me feel like I'm eating charcoal or something. It's like, how is this the desired feeling that you're going to take every sip and then don't, like, I mean, people will drink seven of them. And it's, I mean,
I get bloated.
I know IPAs
I can't
a little bit heavier, so maybe you're only having two. But
right.
I don't understand how you're having that many consecutive sips of something. Like, I mean, and, you know, maybe everybody's looking for their own thing with their drink. But I'm at the very least, I would like it to be refreshing. And I do not find, I feel like I'm actively battling that drink when it's placed in front of me.
Yeah, someone on the text line is saying, 916, IPA or Pine Cleaner? You decide.
Pine Cleaner at least smells good,
we
right?
We play like that instead of NCAA.
No, there's a lot. And basically what you're alluding to is, do people really enjoy this?
Yes.
Or are they trying to convince themselves they enjoy
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Because it sounds cool to be
I think the hazies
brew.
Are good. I think
hazies
some of them,
good.
I think some of them, are, they're pretty gnarly. But at the same time.
Don't even get me started on the deepas, dude. The doubles, the triples. Oh my
let's be honest here. I think a lot of people, as far as society is concerned, if you're drinking a couple IPAs, IPAs, that looks better than.
Yes.
Having a couple shots or going the hard alcohol route.
Sure.
But a lot of the ABVs in these beers are pretty high.
Pretty hefty.
Okay,
pretty
here's a good question.
We're talking
here's
7-8%.
How many people would be drinking IPAs if their ABV was Coors Light? If it was a 4.5 ABV.
If we're just going taste for taste.
Yes, taste for taste. Yeah. Are you still drinking a double IPA?
The only person I can think of is my father. He loves Sierra Nevada Celebration. The Christmas-themed IPA. He's had that since I was a child. So pre-IPA, like, because what? IPA, like, in the last 10 years, it boomed.
It's boomed. It's been insane.
So I think my dad might be the only human.
It also could just be something you grow into. Like, you know, I'm still early, I guess-ish in my drinking ages. Yeah. Like, if you give, a Coors Light to a, don't do this, not condoning it, but if you give Coors Light to a 13-year-old or whatever, they're just a responsible sip.
Oh,
they're not going
still...
to like it. They're not going to like it. But by the time you're 22, 23, you kind of grow a tasting for it. And, maybe IPAs are a similar thing.
Or you
thing
convince yourself.
Years and years of drinking it, you're just, constantly. It's like, maybe Pilsners are the gateway drug to IPAs.
Maybe, some of them are pretty gnarly. I got to give you that. Nicely done, Chris. We got a couple more. Chris wants to talk about something coming up.
Yeah.
That he is not into. Also, a former king is being honest about what happens as a NBA player and how it feels sometimes when they are just kind of boiled down to being a prop. Also, we preview the Raptors and their ridiculous injury reports. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.